Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
6:44, 16 till 7. Not as much rain today. Tomorrow's supposed to be rain all day. Then about a 50-50 shot for showers throughout the Mother's Day weekend. Then we get closer to summertime because we approach the middle of May. We welcome in Dr. Mike Strain now, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Doc?
Man, I am doing great. You know, it's going to be a nice weekend. Mm-hmm. We had some rain the last few days. Mm-hmm. I tell you, the crops are in the ground, and they're doing exceptional. We're ahead of last year. You know, we've got all of our corn, you know, in the ground. We got about 30%+ of our cotton. We've got 95% of our rice planted. We've got about 6% of our soybeans, and we're rolling ahead of schedule. So that's very, very good. And so I think we're going to have a good season. You know, it's been, you know, except for that, you know, that, how you say, the freeze, that little bit of freeze mm-hmm. and snow we had, it's been exceptional. We're getting adequate rainfall, and that keeps me excited. We haven't had a lot of wildfires, and so that is good as well. So it's looking up, and look, the crawfish have never been better, but we're getting, you know, towards that end of season. So if you want crawfish, now is the time to get them. The price has come down, and everybody's having a wonderful crawfish time. Now, the farm-raised crawfish, a number of those crawfish are now going back into the farms. So a lot of farmers are using them to reestablish some of the fields that they lost during the 2023 drought. But the ones coming out of the basin, the wild caught, now they're becoming more prevalent, so that's all good.
Mike, somebody texted in. This is an interesting question about how much land would they have to get into the crawfish farming business?
Well, you don't have to have a lot, but realistically, you know, we put those crawfish ponds at most commonly where we have rice fields. And so a lot of these rice farms are several hundred acres at least. But most crawfish farms, you know, 20, 30 acres, and that can be quite a lot. Just depends on, you know, what you want to do and how hard you want to work. And because the yield is going to be about 800+ pounds per acre mm-hmm. on crawfish. And so, but most time it's the ponds or rice fields, because we grow the rice, we have two cuttings of rice. Then we harvest the crawfish, and the crawfish, they eat the rice stubble. So after you harvest the rice, the rest of the plant that's left, that is the vegetation that the crawfish eat. And so it's a very, very good system that's getting better and better. And then, of course, what comes after crawfish, you know, they set up and put duck blinds out there. And so the property is used for many different purposes. But it works best with the rice crawfish model. That's the best model that works.
So if you're going to go into the crawfish business, you really have to be in the rice business as well, or it makes every bit of sense?
It would be more economical. Now, they have some farmers that are not, mm-hmm. But you're going to have to go and probably plant some type of vegetation there. And remember, you're going to have to flood those fields and that. So the vast majority are on top of rice. Now, that's the way it works, the model that is most successful. Because, again, you will have the value that you get from harvesting the rice, and you can get 8,000 to 9,000 pounds of rice per acre, and the rice is selling at about $15 a hundredweight, and so that helps to the cash flow the whole operation. Because, remember, you've got to get, you know, a particular type of boat. Now, you can do it by hand. They make these little hand boats that you can get behind and push mm-hmm. in shallow water and walk and get your crawfish. But most common, you have these boats and that go into the crawfish fields, but you've got to have some infrastructure as well, and you've got to buy your traps and that sort of thing.
If you had to guess, cost the startup in the crawfish business would be what? I guess it all depends on what the situation with land and flooding
thing,
it.
And probably you're going to have to put at least 100 pounds or plus of crawfish per acre. And so at $2 in today's price, $2.40, $2.50 a pound, so you have about $250 worth of crawfish that you have to seed in there. Then you got to build your levees and get your boats. So you're probably, if you had to start and you already had the land, you know, you're probably going to invest, you know, $500 plus to $1,000 an acre to start or more.
Mm. I think it's cheaper just to buy them from somewhere.
Oh, well, but you know, you can, you know, get a lease and do wild card. Mm-hmm. But if you have available land, but before you start, you really need to get somebody to come out there and look, especially when you're on what we say on our side of the river,
yeah.
Because the crawfish do best at crawfish farming on the west side of the Mississippi River or in those particular areas. Because again, you have to, if you look at the soil types and where we grow rice. So where we grow rice, you generally can grow crawfish, but they seem to work better west and then towards the central part of the state. You get around, you know, where we're at, and that just that old black mud, they don't do quite as well there.
Mike, let's talk about the legislative session, what's going on for both in D.C. with the Farm Bill and also in Baton Rouge with stuff moving through the legislature that's of import to your administration, your department.
Well, we'll start talking in Washington. The Farm Bill, you know, it just isn't moving, and that's the whole thing. And it's, you know, they keep talking about, well, we're going to try to move it, you know, the next few weeks, and, you know, they get into another battle line. And right now, this week, you know, the legislators there, our congressional delegation in the agricultural committees, are being charged with making significant reductions, as you've seen Secretary Rollins there this week, and really announcing next week the plan is going to totally reorganize USDA, reorganization of USDA, and I'm sure that's going to be reflected in the Farm Bill. And so we'll see how that's going. 10,000 people have already accepted a payout to leave the USDA, and that is the significance, since they have over about 200,000 total employees. And then I've been talking on a regular basis with Congresswoman Julia Letlow, because she is on the Agricultural Appropriation Subcommittee, and they're really pushing hard to try to get this Farm Bill in motion. But I really don't have high hopes that they will have it passed realistically before November or December. If then, they're running into headwinds because they're trying to reorganize the SNAP portion, which is 85% of the Farm Bill, the Supplemental Feeding Program, and they've got to get a resolution to those discussions before they can move the Farm Bill. And so trying to find the savings that they're being ordered to do and that. So what one of the discussions is that they're going to take pieces of the commodity section, which is the 15%, what we typically think of the Farm Bill. You know, we have crop insurance, we have the research arm, you know, we have soil and water conservation, and move it piece by piece through the budget resolution process. So that's kind of where that's at. I'm not real happy about that, but I know that our whole team is working hard to try to move it along. We're also looking at investing more money into foreign trade. In other words, what our job through the USDA, the Foreign Ag Service, and our states is to find, you know, buyers for our products to sell our products offshore, because about 60% of all the soybeans we grow in the United States must be sold offshore. And so when we start looking at that, we're working on that hard. In the state legislature, let me tell you, they have been working hard. A lot of those committees start at 9:30 in the morning, some of them go into 10 o'clock at night. We're involved in a number of pieces of legislation. One particular bill is using waste stream product. It's like an ash product called gypsum, which is calcium sulfate, and being able to utilize that after it is properly tested by my lab or another approved lab to go in the soil. And the reason is our soils have become deficient in sulfur, and we have to use about 300 pounds of sulfur per acre every 5 years on our cane land. Sulfur is very expensive, and so we're going to be able to utilize this, a byproduct, safely utilize this product, again, for Louisiana farmers for the sulfur that we need. So that is a big bill that we have going through. I'm also very involved in a streamlining of the seafood inspection laws. That's what Representative Kerner, and we've been working on that with the Lieutenant Governor's office, and, you know, and trying to make it to where the whole process is efficient and workable. So that is moving through the process. We have a number of bills dealing with the solar energy issues and the fact on, you know, regulating solar, where it should go, where it should not go. There's going to be a mitigation like we mitigate for wetlands. And those are bills by Guyman and Ms. Coates. And I'll be meeting with Ms. Coates and Guyman again today. the Department of Agriculture is charged, I as commissioner, with issuing letters of clearance, and I'm charged with making sure that there's no viable alternative if high-valued farmland is being utilized. And secondly, to set a mitigation value of what it's going to cost to mitigate that farmland or replace that farmland. And I have to look at the overall effect on the community, on the neighbors, on agriculture, and so many other factors. Those are very complicated bills, and we're moving forward with that. And then additionally, looking at all the issues with the budget, because believe it or not, this is a fiscal session. And we've heard about all the substantive language going through in the making of law when the focus generally of fiscal session is monetary. And that has not been the case here. But we're looking at the budget, working with the budget, and then looking at whatever new issues are moving forward.
How you keep track of all that and maintain a veterinarian practice, I don't understand, but you do. God bless you, Mike Strain. Appreciate your time as always, sir. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Eat some crawfish and shrimp. Don't forget about shrimp and those beautiful crabs. My goodness, you need to have some gumbo with some crabs this weekend.
Thank you, sir. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 6:54 and a half. Traffic now, WWL.